This is a Rabbi Yitzhak Shifrin.
What year was Rabbi Nifter?
In English, in 1962, in November.
Right.
Yeah. So where were you before you came to Lakewood?
I had learned in Yeshivas Ner Israel. And I came to the Yeshiva 1 year before Rabbi was Nifter. I came on Baba Basra's Zman in 1961.
Okay, who sent you here? How did you know to come here?
How did I know? Because I had a very good friend, Barry Greenstone, who I knew from Chicago Yeshiva.
Yeah.
And he had learned in Lakewood for Elozman. And then he came down to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And he met me. And since my father lived in Phoenix, Arizona then.
Yeah.
So.
What was your father doing?
He was a rabbi.
Uh-huh.
No, excuse me. Did he live in Phoenix? He lived in Rock Island, Illinois. So I didn't go home for Ben Ezman, and we lived too far away.
Yeah.
So I was in the yeshiva, and we spent some time together. And he says, you know, you don't know what you're missing.
You mean this is in Baltimore, he told you this?
Yes. He had come down, Ben Ezman, like.
And he was already learning in Lakewood?
No, he had spent Ellesmond. He had gone from Chicago yeshiva to Lakewood.
You mean Skokie?
It wasn't. Yeah, I guess it was Skokie already.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he told you this is the place.
He says it's just like you don't know. I mean, you can't. Says you like go see the real McCoy.
So then you came here when?
So I came there right after Sukkot.
In 61.
Right in 61. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So who'd you call to get here? I mean, who
I just walked in.
You just dropped in.
Yeah.
Right? And
took a bus.
Beginning of the Zman.
Yeah.
Where'd you go? Who'd you see?
I don't remember right away, but Rabbi Aaron couldn't give the Bechinas. So Rabbi Schneer gave the Bechinas. And I had come. There was another boy from there, Israel, who also came at the same time.
Who was that?
But we hadn't come together. Moses Shama.
Okay.
And Rabbi Schneer gave me the Bechina.
Yeah.
And we got into a big fight.
A fight?
With Rabbi Schneer. This is Rabbi Schneer.
Why?
I don't know. I told him this was a tumim. I told him over his sheer.
You mean not a fight? I mean an argument entirely.
Yeah, bro. We were screaming at each other.
Okay, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
He told me it was. I told him that it is. So then Rav Schneer was very nice. He came out. I don't know who he was.
You didn't even know who he was, Rav Schneer.
Right.
You think he was a younger man?
Yeah. He came over afterwards.
Yeah.
And he told me that I was right. He found the tumen. I said, yeah, of course, I knew I was right.
Yeah. Okay. Then what happened?
Then they told me to have to take a bechina by Rav Aaron.
Yeah.
But he's very busy, so it was 2-3 weeks into the Zman.
Did you stay there or you went back home?
No, I was there at the yeshiva. They put me on, they used to put, you probably heard this, they had a place called the bowling alley.
I don't remember that, no.
Well, the bowling alley is where they had in the Bentheim building, the top floor.
Where was the Bentheim building?
The Bentheim building is exactly on Private Way.
Yeah.
On 6th.
On the corner?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right across from the American Legion.
Okay, do you mean where the dormitory is now?
Where the dormitory is now, but it was a building that Bentheim's had bought.
Yeah.
And that was used as a dormitory. And the starter room for everybody was the Bentheim building.
Yeah.
Because they had what they called the bowling alley, which was a long room.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it was shaped like an L.
Uh-huh.
And four bathrooms slept in one part of it, two bathrooms slept in the other part of it. Come sit down, listen. Yeah, that was the bowling alley.
Yeah.
And so there was always room there, because the first thing a guy did was, as soon as he knew anybody, got out of the bowling alley.
It wasn't comfortable.
Well, it was
like a barracks.
Six guys.
Like a barracks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And when I came, they said there was a tremendous number of Bahram that came this month. The most that ever came, I think there was 19, either 17 or 19 Bahram came this month. And it brought up the number to, they had like 98 beds in the dorm.
Wow.
So like it almost filled up the dorm. I think they only had one or two slots. I think there was 98, if I recall, 98 bunk room.
Where else was it? That was the only dorm?
There were three dorms.
Uh-huh.
There was the kitchen building, which was the original yeshiva building, which was right next to that.
Yeah.
And then there was on 7th and Forest, which you probably know.
Yeah. So that was the yeshiva building.
Yeah, but that was also a dorm.
Upstairs.
Upstairs, yeah.
Right. Okay. Then, so you started learning there.
So I started learning there. It was Baba Bastra's month.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard so much about Rabbi Aaron. I had heard more about the yeshiva, about the Bachram.
Uh-huh.
And eventually Rabbi Aaron gave me my Bechina.
Uh-huh.
And I was, pretty scared.
Uh-huh.
And it was very hard to
Where did he give you, in the yeshiva?
In his office.
Uh-huh. Not in the Nambar Park.
No. In the office in the yeshiva. He had a little office.
Yeah.
In the in 7th and Forest.
Uh-huh.
And he called me in.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me Tosfos Kasha.
What daf was that?
I don't know, Baba Basra.
Yeah, okay, yeah, all right.
And I'm trying to think. First of all, I didn't understand Yiddish very well.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not, I understood Yiddish very well. But he spoke very,
Yeah.
He spoke very, I don't know, it was like...
The rhythm you couldn't get.
Couldn't make exactly sure. And actually, I couldn't imagine. Is that, what is he asking me? Tosfos Kasha? Can't be.
Uh-huh.
So I was trying to think.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to think what he said, what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
I couldn't. So I figured it couldn't be Tosfos Kasha.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe he meant asking a different Kasha. So I started giving him a different Terrence.
Yeah.
So he says, no, Tosfos Rekta Kasha.
Uh-huh.
So I felt pretty, but it seems I'd done very well by Rip Schneier.
Uh-huh.
So it was sort of like foregone conclusion.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I had overheard some Bachram that say that Rip Schneier had said two Bachram had come from their Israel who were very good.
Uh-huh.
So I guess there was only two, me and Mosey Shama.
Uh-huh.
So Rip Schneier was...
Where is this Mosey Shama today?
What?
Where is he today?
He's in Flatbush.
What does he do?
Or where these Sfardim live, in Ocean Park.
I mean, what does he do?
He's a rabbi of sorts. He's considered off the derech.
Uh-huh.
He's a maskil.
Oh, yeah.
But he's like a very funny guy.
Uh-huh.
I held a lot of him. He just whatever.
Whatever, okay. You don't have to dwell on it.
What?
Don't have to dwell on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a guy you certainly would want to interview. He's,
yeah.
He would be proud. I mean, he's not from, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, he has some different ideas.
He got some different ideas, yeah.
Yeah.
Then, I had three mices with the Rabbi Aaron.
Two mices? Mices?
Three mices with the Rabbi Aaron personally.
Okay.
So he was like, it was like very interesting. There used to be guys who, Rabbi would be getting phone calls from the whole world.
Right.
And, there was this little office that he had. It was like a sunroom.
What building was it?
This is the Old Beis Medrash building.
Okay.
I mean, there were phones in every building.
Yeah.
They would call, I guess, every number, but they would call to this little office, and you hear the phone ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were certain guys who used to like to stick around when Rabbi was in that office to see
what was going on.
What phone calls were coming in.
Uh-huh.
Try to, mm-hmm. sort of surreptitiously.
Mm-hmm. You can't reveal me who they were, so I could like to talk to them too.
I don't know. I was Joe Borstein.
Joe? Oh, you mean Borstein? Borstein.
Yussel.
Yeah, I did him already.
Joe.
I got his interview.
His thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's like a very knowledgeable guy.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was him, A.C. Nussbaum.
A.C. Nussbaum. I think I got him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a guy.
Whose
guy you have to get is Shalom Ginsberg.
Yeah, I'm talking to him already.
Because Shalom Ginsberg knows the Shirim.
I'm involved with him already.
Yeah.
A.C. Nussbaum. Yeah, I got him.
Then, that was... Then, what do you want to hear, Mises?
Everything, whatever impressions you're left with, that's what I want.
There was like a lot of very, very interesting things.
So whatever you got to say.
Okay. I remember a friend of mine, yeah. I knew a guy from Chicago Yeshiva.
Name?
Yerachmiel Martyr.
Okay, I heard that. I didn't hate, that's not my list.
Okay, he had come from Eretz Israel, from Kfar Hasidim, I think.
Uh-huh.
And he had come to Lakewood, so we sort of like met.
Uh-huh.
I'd gone to Eretz Israel, he had gone to Eretz Israel.
Uh-huh.
We both met in Lakewood.
Where'd you know him before?
From Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Uh-huh.
Best Medrash Latara.
Right.
And that's before it was Skokie.
Uh-huh.
And so we met in the yeshiva. So he was like, he didn't shterzach. He was a bachur who didn't shterzach.
Yeah.
So when Rabbian asked Shirim, like after every shir, he would come over and ask Rabbian in the shir. And Rabbian would, first time he jumped up, you know, got all excited.
Because he challenged his shir?
Well, he had a kasha.
Oh. Well, that's like a challenge.
Yeah, that was a challenge.
Yeah.
But he would get pretty excited.
Yeah.
But then, like he saw he was a new Bacher, after a few times, I guess he told him, pointed out, he's told to Hartstein used to say the Chazor. There were two Chosers, Hartstein and Moshe Hirsch.
Right.
So he pointed out to he jumped up, and he didn't even answer. He says, pointed over to Hartstein and says, go to hear the Chazor Sashir. So he did. Then he was very nice. Like when he realized the Bacher didn't know anything, he felt he didn't. But that's one thing. I remember very much.
Yeah.
That when Broida came from Hebron, did anybody tell you about this?
No, nobody told me this.
There was like Broida. He was a Rishiv in Hebron.
Well, hold on a second. I hear a noise here.
Wait, hold on.
Go ahead. Broida came from Hebron.
Simcha Zissa Broida came.
Yeah, right. I think
so, like, the raid was that he had hacked a ride.
Yeah.
When he had came before.
Uh-huh.
And there was, like, Rabbi, there was, like, there was real fireworks.
How old was this? He was Rosh Shiva then?
He was Rosh Shiva, yeah.
Yeah.
He was collecting money for Hebron.
Uh-huh.
Good-looking guy. He was a good-looking guy, young guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, full of... And also, there was a Rosh Yeshiva there from YU. His name was Zipperstein.
Oh, he was. I had him as a Rebbe.
At YU?
Yeah.
Maybe he's a Rebbe. I don't know.
He was.
Rosh Yeshiva, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had covered that week, too.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came time for the shir was Motzoi Shabbos.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody, you know, everybody used to pull the shtenders up.
Yeah.
But this time, you know, so like the whole, it was like, would fill up, the whole oilam would fill up about half the base medrash, you know, when everybody pushed up.
Right.
But when that time, like the whole place was in so tight, like it was like a quarter of the base medrash was full, like they pushed up all the way to the front.
Yeah.
Because everybody's waiting for the fireworks.
Well, they knew something was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. And right away, Broida asked the kasha.
Yeah.
And Rabbi just smashed him. I was like, he said a word, boom. And then, second time, he hacked a rhyme.
Broida again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rabbi just smashed him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was like, you know, and he was like, really, really.
Uh-huh.
And then the third time, Rabbi Aaron got so red, he jumped up.
Yeah.
And then he mama jumped up, and he got all red. And then he said, Erst mal gefreit gust. This is the next Akasha this year.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So then the guys who listened to the tapes, because you could pick up what went on. I could pick up what went on.
Yeah.
So with the guys who did the tapes, they would play it over and slow.
Who were they?
guys, AC, I know AC used to work in the tapes.
Yeah.
Different guys worked in the tapes. Charlotte Ginsburg, I think, worked in the tapes.
Yeah.
The guys used to listen over to the tapes.
Right.
So they try, and they, they said...
He allowed them to make tapes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had the, you know, those, the ones of the reels.
Uh-huh.
That's how they have all the show on the reels.
Uh-huh.
So the guys, like, they couldn't pick it up. Most people could pick up what went on.
Yeah.
But they said, but when they listened over, the Rip Iron answered them to Zah. Like, it was so fast.
I mean, like, it wasn't just, he wasn't Doche Bakash. He gave him a real solid answer.
Well, with that, it was so fast, like, did he really understand what he was asking? Like, you know?
Yeah.
But they said it was right on the money.
Yeah.
And the second time, they said it was right on the money.
Yeah.
But anyway, by the third time, when Broida asked Bakasha,
yeah,
with Zipperstein,
yeah,
and, I guess it was the second time, Zipperstein raised his hand to ask too.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, he put up his hand.
Yeah.
And, but Broida asked first.
Yeah.
Zipperstein just put down his hand, like,
yeah,
he don't want to get smashed. That's
right.
How I read it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's true, but that was my interpretation.
Uh-huh.
It was, like, great.
Uh-huh.
I loved it.
Uh-huh. I mean, it was exciting.
Oh, my gosh. We thought it was great.
Uh-huh. Zipperstein was from Shanghai.
Zipperstein was from YU. I don't know.
No, before that he was in Shanghai.
Hemp-Noy.
He's from Mir. He's a Mir.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
He's not here anymore either.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He has Anaklich here in Lakewood.
I remember Simcha's Torah.
Yeah.
Could it be he was this? When did he get sick? Coloboid?
I think Simcha's Torah approximately. And also he had
after Simcha's Torah.
Yeah, yeah. And then he was Nifter in November.
Yeah, but he got sick after Simcha. I was trying to think.
Yeah. I don't know exactly, but he was Nifter in the beginning of November.
Yeah.
Cheshvan.
Yeah, well, no, I've got to remember, because I think he was in Simcha's Torah.
No, Kislev.
Yeah, he was the last Simcha's Torah.
Yeah, right.
He was in the yeshiva.
Right.
And there was this old balabos used to daven in the yeshiva.
What was his name?
I don't remember. It was like old.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he was a balabos. I don't know what his thing was. Some of the old timers might have known his name. A mister, So Rabbi danced in the center with him.
Uh-huh.
Like they were two, you know, they got in the center, Rabbi went and danced with him.
Yeah.
Like the place was pretty crazy, you know, the guys used to get drunk.
Uh-huh.
That was the big, that's the second Simcha's, that was the only Simcha's Torah was there when he was alive.
You're right.
Anyway, just like it was interesting to see him dance around. Uh-huh. Now that Chalamoid, Sukkot, the Sukkah, he was like very nice. We slept in the Sukkah.
Right.
So the first one in to the sukkah was Reb Aaron in the morning. So like everybody, we didn't want him to see us sleeping.
Right.
That we weren't up, so we used to pull the covers over our head.
This is Chalamoid.
This is Chalamoid. No, even the first day of the sukkah.
Yeah.
You know. So, but by the sukkah's tish.
Yeah.
What they did was, they would set up a guy to ask him a kasha.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it was my friend Yerach Bill Martyr.
Uh-huh.
Like, he didn't shterzach, and he spoke a very... He was a Europeisha.
Uh-huh.
He boarded the DP camps.
Uh-huh.
So, in Europe, I don't remember where he was born, but he spoke Yiddish fluently.
Yeah.
So, they set him up. Ask him this and this.
Yeah.
Misa, if this is true.
Yeah.
You know, and then once they would ask him a Misa, he would start telling Misas.
Uh-huh.
So that was, like, very exciting.
Remember any of the Misas?
What?
You remember any of them?
I don't remember. Bill Barter probably would.
Where is he now?
He's a Rebbe. He's a Rebbe at one of the yeshivas in Borough Park.
In Borough Park.
I don't remember.
I'll look him up.
Yeah. And then, he lives in Flatbush.
Yeah, Oak and Flatbush, good.
Yeah.
My daughter lives there.
Yeah. So he had certain fans that he was a fan of, the Reshiva.
Huh.
And I'm just trying to think who it was like, there was a story about Rabbi Akiva Aker.
Yeah.
That somebody asked the Rabbi Akiva Aker of Shiloh, and he gave him an answer, and he says, if I would believe that you just gave me the answer, I would say you're as big as the Grah or something like that. It was a, you know.
Yeah.
So he really, once they would set him up, they'd get him into mices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he would just...
Slow.
Yeah, then he would start saying mises. He liked that.
Mm.
And also the yeshiva, you know, the yeshiva did make the what's it called? They used to make every night. I don't know if they.
Sukkah Beis HaSheva?
Yeah, but they didn't make it the sukkah.
Oh right, it was too cold. It was too small.
Too small. So uh-huh. They made it the dining room.
Right. That's what they did in our time too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they try to do it in the sukkah, and most of the time it was too crowded, too cold, or something, and they moved
into
that.
But they served cake, they served everything, so.
The cake was in the sukkah, basically.
But I don't think, in our day, it wasn't even the sukkah.
Uh-huh.
See, I don't think so, but that's how I think it was.
People walked in and out.
Yeah. Oh, which reminds me, also, somebody asked me, sukkah's time, to go get rabbarans. What's it called? What do they call rubber for the sukkah?
Yeah.
So he said, get a scissors.
Yeah.
That guy's name was Pachter.
Pachter.
Pachter. You know Pachter?
Vaguely. Yeah. Let me put it down.
There weren't a lot of guys at the yeshiva. The whole.
Oh, well, because Ben is mine.
Yeah, but he was from California.
Uh-huh.
So he was,
I think I met him once on a plane.
Yeah.
He lives in Bay Rock?
Yeah.
Okay, I met him on a plane once.
He was raised by, he's an interesting story himself, was raised by Dutch people.
Oh, yeah?
Who were Jewish.
Goyim.
Well,
he's a refugee.
What?
He was a refugee.
Yeah, and then, but they maintained the relationship with him.
Uh-huh.
So when he was a Yugamad of Braybrack, they used to come and visit him.
Goyim.
These Dutch Goyim, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Is he still in Bay Brack?
Have no idea.
Uh-huh.
Look, I haven't seen these guys in 40 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, he told me to go cut Rabar Zarava.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a lady for his lulav. So there was a house across the street for the yeshivas. I'm sure it's still there.
Yeah.
And the lady had a weeping willow tree.
Yeah. You mean on 7th Street?
Yeah, 7th Street, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't think it's there anymore.
She probably still has the weeping willow tree.
If it's the corner 7th and Forest, all those places...
No, that's not the corner. There was nothing on 7th and Forest, because that's where what do they have over there?
They have Mendel's houses.
What?
Mendel has apartments. Yeah, Mendel Rabinowitz apartments.
No.
They were just built.
No, no. What there are was at 7th and 4th. That's where they, don't they have those, Beis Medrash, don't they have the trailers there where they learn?
Oh, Beis Elio.
Beis Elio.
That's private way.
Oh, so what did I say? 7th and 4th?
Yeah.
Excuse me. You're right. 7th and Private Way.
It was a big house.
There was a great big house in the quarter.
Yeah, they knocked it down.
Yeah, but right next to it.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's Zagorin.
Zagorin's house. Yeah, I was going to say Zagorin.
Yeah, he's still there.
He's still there?
Yeah.
Wow, that's hard to believe. But there's a weeping willow, I think, in the front.
Nowadays, nobody would go touch a weeping willow with a 10-foot pole or strafe.
That's why I'm trying to say. Now, I don't have a perfect memory.
I know.
They told me to knock at the door.
Yeah.
And ask permission if I could take off a few
leaves.
Branches, which I did. And I cut them. And I brought them. And I think that was for his willow.
Uh-huh. Right. So, that's, I heard that too. He used a weeping willow.
Yeah, well, that's so. I remember. Look, could I swear to it? I wouldn't take a
shot. No, I heard from other people.
Yeah, but that's what he used, yeah. That's why I think it's an important story, because,
it's true, yeah. That's an important thing.
Yeah, and then.
Because Ramosha didn't like it.
Yeah, I remember one time when Ramosha came out with his tshuva.
Yeah.
he came out with the new Chuva Sefer.
Yeah.
So Yossi Bushti came in and said, what does Ravara think about this Chuva?
You mean the one with the controversial one?
Some of them, I remember there's one with about going swimming with their ladies. He says, for your refuah, if a guy went to go for help.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. So I think that's the one he said he wouldn't show Rabard.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want him to get too excited.
Uh-huh.
And the guys told me, that Rav Moshe held that since Rav Moshe is the Posek Hador, like for Fallon, once he comes out with this stuff with the machitzas, that's what they told me. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I didn't hear this for Rabard. That's what they told me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just want to tell you my two vices with Rabard.
Yeah.
One time, I used to go about every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I used to get I just had to leave the yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
It was just like too much.
Pressure.
What?
Pressure.
I don't know what it was. I couldn't learn.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, I figured out it was like about every 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So I had a sister in New York, so Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
I just like, oh, I can't do this. I'm getting
out. Did you have to ask permission to leave?
No. So I went to the dorm.
Yeah.
To get something. Then I was going to go to New York to my sister. I would take a bus to my sister's.
Yeah.
I would stay there.
Yeah.
Just chill out.
Yeah.
And to about 11 o'clock, then I'd go back, take the bus back to Lakewood.
You mean just for one day?
Just for a couple hours.
Oh.
It was just like I had to break the pressure,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was. Like I couldn't think.
Mm-hmm.
So I came in the building.
Yeah.
The building was completely dark.
Yeah.
There's only one, I came there.
Thursday afternoon.
The Thursday afternoon, I think it was late. It was a winter time, and Rabard was there, and he saw me.
Yeah.
And he says, why are you here? And I says, I have a headache.
Yeah.
So a couple days later, I get a call. Rishu wants to see you.
Yeah.
And he says to me, cups are not for headaches, they're for learning.
Uh-huh.
Which I interpret as meaning is when you get a headache, go learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, that was my one bisa. Yeah. Then I had another bisa with him.
Yeah.
That he used to leave to New York.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Usually, I don't know why he went to leave right after breakfast.
Monday.
Yeah, but he used to say over Chazor Hashir before he left.
Monday morning.
Yeah. But here he wanted to leave right away.
Yeah.
So he saw me downstairs by breakfast.
Yeah.
And he says, go upstairs and bring down his glasses.
Yeah.
So I went up to his room.
Yeah.
And I'm searching around for his glasses.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I couldn't find them.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and all of a sudden I'm panicking. I'm starting to go into panic.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he appears right there, grabs his glasses from right in the middle of the bed.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. That's my other story with him. That's a personal thing. Like, I'm very embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I couldn't find it, but I guess I was so scared.
Uh-huh.
Once that I didn't see it right away, I expect to see it on his night table or on his...
Uh-huh.
You know where he used to sleep. You know all about that.
No. I don't know all about that.
Well, no, he used to sleep. Mrs. Berman, you know about Mrs. Berman used to take care of him?
A little bit. I heard a name mentioned. By the way, you don't have to be afraid of giving me old information.
I mean, I don't know if these are like details. I mean, I remember...
The details sometimes reveal a lot.
Well, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I could tell you things about the yeshiva. Mrs. Berman used to be the cook of the yeshiva.
Right.
She was an old German lady.
Mm-hmm.
And when she retired from cooking...
Yeah.
So she maintained her apartment at the yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
So she had her own little private apartment where she had a room. And she used to cook special for a bar and certain things. Like for breakfast, she used to, you know, the saucer that you put a cup in?
Yeah.
She used to make them rice for about the size of that saucer. That it was like, you have to see it, the Melmac dishes. It's like really very small.
Yeah.
And that was like his breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't eat a lot.
Uh-huh.
And my I don't know if she cooked all his meals for him or she cooked some of his meals for him, because his room was always made up. I don't know who did that.
Uh-huh.
You know, his beds, if you ever went to his room, his beds were made.
Mm-hmm.
His bed, the bed, you know, the old yeshiva building was a mansion at one time.
Yeah.
And so there was Mrs. Berman's apartment. Then
yeah.
there was Rabbi's room with two where he had his own private bathtub.
Yeah.
And
He had a guy there, Bernie, you remember him?
Yeah, well, Bernie was the shrink.
Huh?
Rifke, you have getting a phone call the other line. Strauss. Give her a call. So, anyway, Rabbi's room was sort of like, Mrs. Berman had an apartment, then there was Rabbi's room. It was a very nice room.
Yeah.
Because, like, the bunker had it still had a carpet on it, you know, it was still from the old mansion.
Uh-huh.
And you know the story with Lazar Stefanski?
Vaguely. I spoke to him. I don't know if he told me the story.
Well, you asked to ask him. It's a good story.
Yeah.
When he came to the yeshiva, they didn't have a bed.
Right.
So the yeshiva used to be on that second floor.
Mm-hmm.
Rivard had a room. Mrs. Berman had her apartment. There was some other rooms.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have old furniture from the old mansion
mm-hmm.
yet.
Yeah.
So there was this big stuffed chair.
Yeah.
So he went to sleep at the big stuffed chair.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the first one up in the morning was Rabbi.
Yeah.
So he comes out and he sees him sleeping in a chair. So he says, "What are you doing in a chair?" So he says, "Well, he didn't have a bed to sleep."
Yeah.
So Rabbi says, "Well, look, you know, his Rebbe is not there. Does only comes Yom Tov him.
Yeah.
So he should sleep by him."
Yeah.
So you know what? I don't know what happened, but Lebaisi ended up sleeping by Rabbi for his bed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like, I don't know if he told you that.
He did.
He told you that story.
Yeah. But it's good to hear from somebody else.
He didn't tell you the other part of the story, probably.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he did.
Well, he says every morning, Rabbi didn't want to wake him up.
Yeah.
So what he would do is he would sort of make noise around his bed. He didn't say get up.
Yeah.
But he was sort of like he felt he was making extra noise to wake him up.
Uh-huh.
So he would always sit up in bed.
Yeah.
And then, as soon as Rabbi left, he would pull the covers over and go back to sleep. So he says, and then, by the time Rabbi would come, his schedule, he would come after breakfast, he'd be out.
Uh-huh.
So he says, but one day Rabbi had to go to New York real quick.
Yeah.
So it came back at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he had pulled this whole thing of getting up, pretending he was get up.
Uh-huh.
But he hadn't. He was very embarrassed when Rabbi copped him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that he fooled Rabbi. Because
mm-hmm.
he had a very good eye, Rabbi.
Uh-huh.
They say over when the guys drove him to New York, I think this happened with Levy Dicker.
Yeah.
You know, when they went him to the guys, nobody wanted to drive him in New York. You know, they used to have a thing when everybody drove him.
Right.
If you could drive.
By the way, the ones who drove gave me the best stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
That was very interesting, the driving.
Well, first of all, the guys that drove him, so he used to ask him over the shear. That was
right,
the problem.
Right. Uh-huh.
So they had to know the shear.
Right.
So if you're going to be driving, you made sure you knew the shear.
Right.
So I think it was Levy Dicker was driving him.
Yeah.
Somebody. And Rabbi said, well, how come you weren't by the shear? He wasn't by the shear.
Yeah.
So he says he had heard it the shear the other time, four
uh-huh.
years ago.
Uh-huh.
So Rabbi says, you weren't at that shear either.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He remembered everything.
Well, see, yeah. Dobby Deutscher told me.
Who?
Dobby Deutscher.
He was there too?
There's a guy, Dobby Deutscher. You have him on the list?
No. D.U. Deutscher.
Deutscher. Dobby Deutscher. He was like a, what is it called? Oberlander type.
Uh-huh.
You know, where Chassidus
should live. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But he was sort of like half Hungarian, I don't think.
Right, I understand. Oberlanders are Hungarians, but yeah. they're not Chassidim.
Right. So Dobby Deutscher.
Yeah. Where is he now?
I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't seen him in 40 years.
Okay. I'll look him up.
Yeah. So Dobby Deutscher told me that when he came to the yeshiva, Rabbi Aaron says, You look familiar.
Oh, yeah?
So Deutscher said he had been in the yeshiva about 4 years before with his father. For some reason, they were Lakewood.
Yeah.
And he got her out and gave her a Baruch Shabbos.
Yeah, he remembered.
So he thinks that's where he's not sure. But that's pretty impressive.
Very, very,
if it was true.
Yeah, a lot of people told me that he had an extremely acute awareness of things that are going on in his vicinity and in time.
Uh-huh.
And extremely good recollection of what's going, like, nothing could get past him.
Yeah.
Acute awareness.
Yeah, well, you see, I gotcha.
Yeah.
My impression was he was, like, very, very businesslike.
Mm-hmm.
See, I came from near Israel where Rabbi Ruderman was very dreamy.
Uh-huh.
It was sort of like an exalted figure that you don't know anything about.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was just in a different world, so to say.
Yeah.
The way, and I came to, and I don't know if that was true about him, but
who?
Byron,
yeah.
You know, I observed him.
Yeah.
And Byron seemed to be, like, very businesslike. He was like a man who had control. Was control of what he was doing.
Yeah.
In fact, they had, when we were in the sukkah and he was telling over these mices, all of a sudden somebody comes running in.
Yeah.
Like there was a knave in the dorm.
Yeah.
Somebody found something, a broken bottle in a garbage can, and somebody had broken into his room. And
yeah.
So like Rabbi like sort of took charge.
Yeah.
You do this. Okay, do it.
Yeah.
It was like very interesting to watch. Like,
yeah.
It was like he just took charge of everything.
Control.
Yeah. And then there's one other Misa, I don't know. He was going to the Aguda.
Yeah. Where?
Convention.
Atlantic City?
No, there at Israel.
Oh, that's you saw. Oh, that door. Okay, yeah.
You heard about that?
No, maybe. I heard about it. He went to that you saw a lot.
Well, he went to the Knesio when I was there.
Right. I think
so
somebody told me that.
In 1961 sometime.
Right. Yeah.
The winter's month somewhere.
Yeah.
And so the whole yeshiva went along to be malava him.
To the airport.
So meanwhile, his Rebbetzin wants him to put on this new hat.
Uh-huh.
And so she's like sticking the hat in his hands.
Yeah.
And he sort of said, like, Lazakop, like, forget, Lazakop with the hat, like, he's doing what he's doing, like, you know.
Yeah.
It was, like, so funny to see him, to see, you know, a typical, you know, his wife wants him to wear the fancier hat, and he was like, Lazakop already.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I don't know whatever happened, if he ever put on the new hat or not, but that he wasn't.
She was very concerned over his appearance.
What?
She's concerned over his appearance.
Yeah.
I heard things like that.
Yeah.
From other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like that, but he just like loves me up. Like,
yeah,
don't
like,
bother me.
Right.
You know, I'm doing, you know. That was the impression I had.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, I don't consider myself a Talmud. Like, I mean, I don't.
It doesn't matter. But you understand. If anybody has an impression, it's valuable.
Yeah.
Even a lot of people.
My impressions were more of the yeshiva.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so give me some of that.
The impressions of the yeshiva was nobody was friendly.
Uh-huh. What do you say?
Nobody was helpful.
Why was it that way?
The only thing they would ask you is, who's your chavrusas?
Yeah.
And I had a friend of mine prepare my chavrusas. He gave me some doozers.
Yeah.
And they heard the names, like, I was discounted forevermore. That's what I felt like.